You are now listening to the Legends Lingo Podcast. Here's your hosts, Al, Powder, and Maddie B.
All right, everybody, welcome back in Legends Lingo Podcast, episode 242, presented by StudentUnionSports.com. Make sure to check out everything on StudentUnionSports.com, from the daily blogs to the podcast. You know the podcast by now. Do you want college football? The Is It Saturday Yet pod is for you. You want soccer? Yellow Cards got you. You want gambling? The Chasers will hopefully win you some money, because I'd like to win some money too, so that would be good. But they got you, and obviously for Boston sports, you can come here. Two Legends Lingo, Al the Heat in here in a new condo, new place. So goodbye 8-11. Actually, I shouldn't do that. Yeah, cut that. Goodbye Saugus, Massachusetts. And yeah, hello to being a city guy.
I was gonna say, you gonna dox yourself right away? Where you
pretty, used to live? Pretty much. Just throw it out there.
Or Marty.
That's Maddie B. Powder is here too, guys.
Yeah.
Pleasure.
Pleasure as always.
Maddie?
Well, it's good. It's a good week. I mean, I'll point out some good news. I think we all won our fantasy matchups this week for the first time all season.
Yes, you know what? I did it.
You know what's funny?
I won it.
You did win. First one of the season for Maddie.
Smoked Isaac this week.
Oh, man. But you know what's funny is I looked at all my fantasy leagues. I won all five fantasy leagues this week that I'm in.
Oh,
I couldn't believe it.
Could not only
that apply. We love that. So we're 9-0.
Jordan Love throwing three picks last night for me to win my last game. Literally, the guy had Jordan Love, and he was beating me by 1 point. Jordan Love throws that pick with under a minute to go, and then I won by 1 point.
Oh, that's just fantastic.
When I saw it this morning, I was jumping up and down.
Wow, that's great.
So that's why, if we felt an earthquake, that's why. So, but yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say that I felt the ground move a little bit and I heard the rumbling. So I figured it was either you were on the toilet or you were just happy and jumping up and down. It was one of the two. There's no in between.
Could have been both.
Could have been both. That's very, very true. All right. So we have a lot to talk about. We can actually talk about all four Boston sports teams, but let's just get the doom and gloom, the sadness. Let's just get it all out of the way now. So, Patriots coming into a big game. At least I was feeling confident. Powder was feeling somewhat confident. Maddie wasn't really feeling confident. And you know what? Maddie B was right on this one. There's always a but. But the Patriots weren't even competitive. They didn't even score. So Patriots get obliterated at home by the New Orleans Saints, 34-0. And I mean, we don't know where to begin. I really, really don't. Actually, I do know where to begin. Let's talk about this offense, because this offense is becoming a huge, huge problem. Because look at what is going on around you. You have the running backs, Ramondre Stevenson and Ezekiel Elliott. They're not doing anything because of a putrid offensive line. You have Mac Jones taking sack after sack, making bad throw after bad throw because of A, bad decisions, and B, getting rushed to throw. And I think there was one point in the first half where the Patriots were driving down the field, and they actually looked like they were getting some momentum, and then all of a sudden, Mac Jones gets sacked. During that play, it took less than 2 seconds for him to get sacked, because Trent Brown, I think it was Darian Lowe on that play, got beat, and then Mac had no chance. But Mac's not doing anything. The receivers can't get open. Nobody's doing anything. Nobody's doing a thing. Bill O'Brien with the play calling, it's very vanilla. It's very bland. It's very plain. And it's very predictable. And that's what I wanted, something different this year. I want something, a little unpredictability, which you saw a little bit in weeks 1 and 2 against Philly and Miami. But you haven't seen that since. And that's a problem. So now the Patriots sit at 1-4. Right now, if the season were to end, we're playing that card. If the season were to end right now, they'd have the third overall pick behind Chicago at 1-2. I thought it was 3.
Minnesota and Denver.
I didn't know they were ahead, huh? Okay, so top five pick. They would have a top five pick. And this is not the direction that I saw this team going. Maddie, I know you were a little more pessimistic coming into the season, probably rightfully so, at least right now. But I mean, let's do this. Let's just get initial reactions to the game. Powder, I know you were away. You were doing your coaching thing over the weekend, over a long Columbus Day-Indigenous Persons Day weekend. So, Powder, I'm going to start with you. And seeing what you saw and, you know, reading everything and hearing all the clips and everything, what are your takeaways?
Just, I don't know if it's time to just completely throw everything in the trash and start over, meaning coaches, all that stuff. And just, it's at that point now where I think the Patriots just need to hit the reset button. I was coaching while the game was going on, and I happened to look at my phone at one point. When I looked at it, it was 21-0, and I was like, Jesus, I'm so happy I'm doing this and not watching the game, because I would have been not happy watching that game. But just, I think, at a point where the Patriots need to figure something out, what direction they're going in. It hasn't been good for a few years, and doesn't look like it's getting any better.
It really doesn't. It doesn't look like it's going to get better. It doesn't look like there's no hope right now. And I hate to say that about a Patriots team, but there is no hope at this moment. I don't know where to go. Maddie, go ahead.
I wrote an article about this, and I think I was spot on with this. It's time to get rid of Bill Belichick. As a GM, absolutely time to get rid of him. The reason why this offense is abysmal, look at the talent on this offense. Who's the one who's going out to go get all these players? Who's the one responsible for that? Who's the one who's building the roster? At the end of the day, all the problems, all those problematic roads will lead right to Bill Belichick. It is time for him to go. It is. He had a great, 28, 29 year career in New England with us. He had a great year. He had a great career. Arguably, maybe the greatest coach of all time, but this season, it is hurting his reputation. Last season, slightly hurt it, but, you know, you just had problems everywhere last year. Now, this year, you go get an offensive coordinator, you bring in who you think, okay, maybe I can bring in some mediocre players, and with a great offensive coordinator, something will happen. No. It's time to get rid of Belichick, and the thing is with Belichick, and this is, you know, this has obviously been the debate this week in Boston. If you get rid of him as the GM, does he just leave altogether as the coach as well? Because it just seems like he's the kind of guy where it's like, if you get rid of him from one position, he's going to say, F it, I'm just going to leave. It just seems like he doesn't want to be the coach unless he has complete control of the roster, which I don't agree with.
Not at this point. Not at this point anymore, because guess what? Bill Belichick has led the Patriots to, what, a 26-30 record since a certain quarterback left? Now, granted, I know Brady is Brady, and I understand that. I get it. But look at what you, like Manny said, look at what you've done with this roster. So far, you let Jacoby Myers, just this season, by the way, you let Jacoby Myers walk and you signed Juju Smith-Schuster. That's looking like a real bad signing.
I was saying, not to cut you off, I was saying originally this is a good signing. Yeah, I'm going to take that back. I take that back 100%.
Listen, I am too. I thought Juju was going to be really good, but guess what? He hasn't done anything, and it looks like he's going to be out for at least a week, if not two, now with a concussion. So that's not going to help his case. And then you look at the rest of the receiving core. Kendrick Bourne, where have you been the last two games? Devontae Parker, a guy that's supposed to be, you know, a physical receiver that can go up and get 50-50 balls. Every 50-50 ball I've seen, he's lost this year. So he's not doing his job. Let's see, who else? Tyquan Thornton, he's just going to be coming back. But is he really going to be effective in this offense that can't block for more than a second? I don't think so. Who else is on this receiving core that you can really like? DeMario Douglas, Bob Douglas, that's a positive. Like, he looks like he could be a player for this team in the future. And then you have Kayshawn Booty that hasn't even played in three games. So you don't know what he's going to do. And honestly, you might need to play him this week because it looks like Juju's going to be out. And who's the other one that's going to be out? There's another receiver, that Bob Douglas. It looks like both of those guys are going to be out. So there's no excuse not to play Kayshawn Booty at this point. But I have never seen the amount of lack of talent that this Patriots team has right now. Because where can you realistically say the Patriots are good here? You could have argued the defense before Judon and Christian Gonzalez went down. Like, they were a pretty good defense. Now that they're gone, you know, that's two anchors to your defense. Yeah, you've got J.C. Jackson. By the way, how about Belichick getting J.C. Jackson back from the Chargers for, like, a pick swap and not having to pay his contract? I'll give him credit there. That's a decent move, considering what you needed him. But you did. You can't go with Sean Wade and Miles Bryant both on the field at the same time. You just can't.
You can't, but I'm just saying the Chargers, they were actually trying to get rid of him. So it seems like, you know, we could have said, hey, here's a seventh round pick in 2050. And they would have been like, okay, here's J.C. Jackson for you. Like, the Chargers were just, they were actively trying to get rid of him.
Right. Right, they were. But you know what? One man's trash is another man's treasure. So that's great for the Patriots, they needed a corner. They got a corner. So I'm happy about that. But for this team to be in the position they're in, it is on Bill Belichick. And you know what? People are going to blame Mac Jones for this. He deserves some of the blame. Do not get me wrong. Do not get that misconstrued. Mac Jones has been a problem. But look at the weapons and look at the offensive line and look at the receivers that he's been given. Hasn't been given a fair shake since his rookie year. So you know what? I'm going to say this. Mac Jones is not the guy. And you know what? When Mac goes to another team and he actually does well, I'm going to hate it. I'm going to hate every second of it. I'm going to say that should have been here. But that's not the case. So now, where do you go? As Bill Belichick said, they're starting over. So if they're starting over, what does starting over mean? What does it mean? Does it mean that you're just going to do... Does it mean that you're going to do like a running primary offense? Are you going to try to implement play action? I don't know what you're going to do. But you need to do something. You need to do something. And you need to do something quick, because guess what? You got the Raiders who are just coming off a Monday night win against the Packers. Granted, they only won 17-13. But when you score 3 points in 2 weeks and you haven't gotten into the end zone in two games, really, correct me if I'm wrong, five halves of football because they scored a touchdown in the first half against the Jets, right?
Yeah. Wow, yeah. I didn't even think of that, Al.
Yeah.
Look at that. Look at you, big brain. Yeah.
They haven't scored a touchdown in five halves. And the one touchdown that they had was to Farrell Brown, their third string tight end. So, I don't know. I don't know if you guys just want to kind of vent out your frustrations about the Patriots a little bit more, but it got to the point on Sunday where I was just laughing at everything. And it's like, what's the point of getting mad at anyone? They're not a good football team. Like, there's no point in getting mad. It's just you sit there and you laugh and you're like, okay, let's get through this and let's see what happens. So, but anyways, vent sesh away about this before we get into the Raiders preview. So go ahead, guys, whoever wants it.
I mean, all I'm going to say is welcome to the 90s. This is what it was like in the 90s. You know, I was born in 96, so I didn't have to really deal with the bad Patriots, really. I've been kind of given a great life as a Patriots fan, getting to watch success. This is the first time really anyone in my generation where we're experiencing a bad Patriots team and the fans are not having it. Granted, this is Boston. Expectations are out or beyond the roof in Boston. They are. But it's like you said, Al, it's not even frustrating anymore. It's just laughable. Literally, my girlfriend and I, when we were watching the game, I forget what she was doing, but she was actually trying to do something productive on Sunday. I think she built something. And I said, hey, look, Mac Jones is about to throw. She says, oh, it's about to be a pick six. And it was the Tyrann Mathieu pick six. Like, it's just getting laughable at this point. Now I got the Raiders this week. Obviously, I don't want to say too much about that because I don't want to steal Al's thunder here. But there's a certain player on the Raiders defense that's going to be a problem with our current offensive line. I really don't even want to watch it on Sunday, but I'm gonna watch the team. I'm gonna be a fan. I'm a fan for life for the Patriots, but it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be a hard watch.
Yeah, I get the feeling we're going to have a therapy session after this, Matty.
Yeah, we are. Maybe I'll have to come to your apartment after.
Yeah. Hey, listen, door will be open for you.
Okay.
Cool.
Challenge accepted. Challenge cool. accepted.
All right. Powder, anything that you want to add about anything with this Patriots team right now before we get into the Raiders preview?
Just kind of reiterate what Maddie said. I was born the same year, so all my Patriots fandom has been success and winning and all that stuff. And it sucks. Like, obviously, you knew the success wouldn't last forever, but it just, you weren't, I feel like I wasn't truly ready for it when it happened, how quickly it went downhill and everything like that. And it's, who knows how long it's going to be till the Patriots are back to being even a playoff contender, like a team that we watch and we have fun watching. Like, I'm not saying back to the Zomer Brady days where we're going into each week, like, how do we even lose this game? Like, we're the best team in the NFL. But it's hopefully we didn't take for granted all the greatness we were able to watch for so long and how much fun that was in all those years. Because it was definitely so much fun every Sunday that you didn't have anything to do that took you away from the TV. You watch a Patriots game and even if they lost, they never got blown out. It was always competitive. And then come playoff time, they were pretty much in the AFC Championship game every year and in the Super Bowl every other year too. And it was just fun to be able to watch all of that. And it, yeah, just sucks now.
Listen, it was a blast to watch. It was. It was an absolute blast to watch this Patriots team from the year 2001 to 2019, two decades. It was awesome. And no, it wasn't expected to last forever, but you would have thought with Bill Belichick coaching your team still and being able to still have some of the remnants from that 18 Super Bowl team and just, you know, developing young players and getting some decent players, you were getting, you know, Kyle Duggar and Jacoby Myers and just those other pieces coming together, you thought that you were going to get something. But guess what? Now you're in a situation where your roster is one of the, if not the worst, roster in the NFL right now. That's the realistic truth of everything. Now, let me ask you guys this before we get into the Raiders preview. At this point now, do you tank? So Maddie's nodding his head yes. Powder?
I mean, how can he not? I mean, I think they can't even win.
No, I agree. At this point, why not try and get a high pick and try and start the rebuilding process?
See, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to say also, yes, embrace the tank. But watch them do something stupid and win this week. Well, just watch them do it. They'll find a way to get us interested again. Just to get demolished by the Bills and the Dolphins coming up. But anyways, let's just preview this Raiders game, give a quick score prediction, then we'll move on. So Patriots at the Raiders, 4:05 game on Sunday. I believe that date is October 16th, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, no, sorry, 15th, October 15th. So I know, October 15th, week 6 at the Raiders. Max Crosby is the guy that the Patriots are going to have to watch. That's the guy that Maddie alluded to earlier. Already 5 sacks in the season and looking to be a defensive player of the year candidate. And with this Patriots offensive line in shambles, like, who knows who's going to be around? Mike Nwenu hurt his ankle in the Saints game again, so he's probably going to miss some time. This Patriots, like, offensive line, I hate to sound like that, just that fan, but it's hard when your offensive line is not consistent and it's changing every week. How do you win with that? You can't. Who has been the only constant so far on this offensive line? It's been David Andrews. And David Andrews is like 33, 34 years old. So he's not going to be around much longer. So how can you rely on just David Andrews and then, you know, just rotating pieces? You can't. How are you going to stop Max Crosby? You're probably not going to stop him. So now how are you going to win the game? You can't win this game. They're like, again, knowing them, they'll find some stupid way to win it, but I don't think they're going to. I don't know what they can do against this defense. This Raiders defense isn't that great. But again, it doesn't matter when you can't throw the ball and you can't run the ball. It doesn't matter. So I don't know if anybody wants to add anything before we give score predictions, but go ahead.
I got nothing.
The one thing I got is that Belichick has not done well against McDaniels. Oh, and by the way, former quarterback Jimmy G is going up against. So we all know how Belichick does against former players, former coaches, former everything. Mm-hmm. So expect a Belichick master disaster this weekend. Another one.
All right, let's just give our scores. Let's make this quick. Powder, what do you got?
I'll do 28-10 Raiders.
Okay.
Oh, God, I don't even know if they score a touchdown, honestly. I'm going to go with a 20-7.
All right, I'm going to go 24-7 Raiders. Like, I think they find a way to score one touchdown. Like, they get a turnover in the red zone, and then they get lucky. And you know what? Until this team wins a game, like, it's impossible to pick them to win any games. Like, again, I thought the Saints game could be, you know, kind of a turnaround. Then you go into Vegas with a little momentum. You have no momentum right now. You've gotten outscored 72-3 in the last two games. Mm-hmm. And by the way, you were a Hail Mary away from going to 0-5. Just an FYI for people that forget that. Again, I know it didn't look close, but it's...
Randall Cobb nearly caught that.
I know, and that probably would have been better, because then the Patriots probably would have had the number one pick right now, or the number two pick at this point.
Carolina, they're pretty bad.
Yeah, Carolina's pretty bad too. But at least they have a young quarterback that they can kind of work around. But anyways, I'm done talking Patriots. You guys good with this?
Yeah, I think we pick up this conversation next week when they lose again.
Perfect. Okay, then we can start talking about who they get in the 2024 draft. Awesome. All right, so where do we want to go next? I'll let you guys pick. We can talk a little Red Sox and MLB playoffs. We can talk a little Celtics, do a quick tidbit on the Bruins. What do you guys want to do?
Let's go Bruins. Let's talk about them for a little while.
All right, so this is going to be real quick, but Bruins open up against the Chicago Blackhawks on Wednesday, October 11th, to kick start their NHL season. And listen, I'm going to keep this very brief, and then, Maddie, I'll tell you what, just because we're nice here, okay, we'll let you do a little Maple Leafs preview, okay?
Really?
Yeah, why not? We'll let you do a little preview. But just, I'll keep this quick. The Bruins this year, they should have zero expectations. They're not going to follow up what they did in 2022, 2023. That's never going to happen again. You lose Patrice Bergeron, you lose David Krejci, you lose that veteran leadership. There's no way they're going to replicate it. But they still have a lot of good pieces in place, right? Brad Marchand obviously donning the C now. He's going to be back fully healthy this season. Keep in mind, he missed the beginning of last year. Obviously, you got Charlie McAvoy back, Hampus Lindholm back, Pasternak's back, Charlie Coyle back. You added some pieces in James Van Riemsdyk and Kevin Shattenkirk. So you added some pieces there. You still have the goalie tandem of Ullmark and Schwemann. So, I mean, your goaltending's still pretty good. I think this Bruins team, realistically, can make the playoffs this year. I say they get bounced in the first round, but I still think they make the playoffs. I think they're going to surprise people with how good they're going to play given their circumstances. So, first round exit. That's my thoughts. Powder, I don't know if you want to give any quick Bruins takes.
No, you said they have a decent amount of pieces back from last year, but we didn't predict, obviously, I don't think anybody predicted the regular season they had last year, but like you said, I don't think it's going to be the same thing as last year, but I think, like you said, they'll probably be a lower seed, find a way to get in the playoffs, but probably not have a ton of success deep into the playoffs.
Okay, so Powder's kind of in the same boat as I am. Maddie, do you want to give any Bruins takes, or do you want to just get into your Maple Leafs?
The one thing I have to say about Bruins leads into the Leafs. I have a feeling that we see each other around one of the playoffs this year. I just have a feeling.
Wow, goodness gracious.
I have a feeling like it's coming because it's like the low. There's not really a lot of expectations with the Bruins this year after what they did last year. There's a lot of expectations for the Leafs this year. They lost a couple key pieces, but they got some young talent on this roster that they can develop. Obviously, you got Austin Matthews, you got Mitch Marner, you got John Tavares. That's the big three. Even maybe Nylander has another repeat performance of last year where the guy was unstoppable last year. But now insert Max Domi. Insert Matthew Nyes, who was the young talent that was developing really nice last year. Insert the other left wing from the Bruins, Tyler Bertuzzi. He was nice with Boston last year. Leafs onto a one-year deal this offseason. See what happens there. You got a veteran defenseman in John Klingberg. TJ Brody, Mark Giordano, who this is probably his final season in the league this year. Let's see what happens there. You got Morgan Riley, who's always solid, too. Then there's the goalies. You got Matt Murray, Ilya Samsonov, Joseph Woll. That's our Achilles heel right there.
Woof.
That's our Achilles heel right there.
Woof.
Once again, it's like you got an amazing roster. You got pretty good defensemen. You got good left wingers, right wingers. You got good centers. Then there's the goalies. With that being said, I do think the Leafs make it to the playoffs this year because they almost do every year now at this point. Do they beat the Bruins round one though? If I'm right here, can they go back to back seasons of making it to the second round? I think they can. I think they broke the curse last year. They did the NHL a favor last year and took down Tampa. Maybe the curse is broken. Maybe I'm being a happy-go-lucky Leafs fan here, but I think they make it back to round two this year. Then it's like, all right, better hope you don't run into someone like Carolina, for example, in round two. I think they win it all this year, the Hurricanes, but. Or hopefully, the Panthers don't have another miracle run like they did last year either. But I think this is another second-round exit for the Leafs this year. I think they're a playoff team. I think they win the division on top of that, too. This is a good team. They got some young pieces. They got some young guys to develop. Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen between now and whenever the hell the season ends. I forget what month, April, May, something like that. But a lot of hockey is about to happen. It's exciting. I can't wait. I know ESPN's going to up their coverage with the NHL again this year. They're really trying to build the brand for the NHL brand, and they're doing a good job of it. We'll see. We will see. At least the NHL people at ESPN are doing a good job. And then, there's the Stephen A's there who don't think hockey's a sport along with baseball. So, yeah, I'm excited. I'm sure you guys are excited as Bruins fans. It's going to be a fun year, I think. Obviously, the puck has dropped for the regular season already this season. I'm going to try to stay up to watch the Knights celebration tonight. So,
congratulations to the Vegas Golden Knights and lifting up their first championship banner.
Impressive. They did it in what, 5 years?
Credit. Credit to the Golden Knights. They pulled it off. They did. They made all the right moves.
They built a damn good roster.
And, who was the head coach again? Oh, that's right. Bruce Cassidy.
That's going to forever. That's going to haunt you guys. That's going to haunt you guys forever.
All right. Maddie's excited about the Leafs. Powder and I are like, all right, Bruins are making it to the playoffs and they'll get bounced. Cool. We're good, right?
Yes.
All right. So now, let's get into some Red Sox and MLB playoffs real quick. But before that, Powder, why don't you give us a little quick little ad from our good friends at A&B Burgers.
Powder, I'm hungry. Snacking, I'm hungry.
Like I say every week, Legends League is graciously sponsored by A&B Kitchen Bar and A&B Burgers. I was actually with the owner this weekend. I was coaching up his son down in Maryland and talking about the podcast and his restaurant actually just got A&B Burgers just got awarded one of the movers and shakers of the North Shore of North Shore Magazine. So A&B Burgers is doing great things. A&B Kitchen Bar in Boston, located right across the street from Tea Garden, with the Bruins and Celtics starting up. You going game tomorrow? Or at this point, game's probably already over, but wherever you're going to, a Bruins game or a Celtics game soon, and you want to get a great bite to eat before you go, be right in the atmosphere of the Garden, head over to A&B Kitchen and Bar and let them know the Legends Lingo Boys send you.
Shout out to our friends at A&B Kitchen and Bar, A&B Burgers.
All right. When's the live episode happening? When's it happening?
Outer, I'm telling you, we should talk to A&B Kitchen Bar and do a live show.
Really, and I will talk. I can talk to Tom about it.
You should. Honestly, just get some people up there. Just, you know, give them some A&B Kitchen Bar burgers and we'll go from there.
Go there on a Sunday during a Pats game. They're down by 20. We just all vent during a live episode.
Oh, that would be awesome. That's some cool content
right there. We gotta make sure it's a game that we know they're gonna lose, like the Bills or something like that.
Oh, just do the Chiefs. Just do the Chiefs game. Easy.
Oh, boom. God. On Monday night. Oh God. All right.
I forgot that the Monday night game, truthfully. All right.
That's gonna flex so fast.
Oh, for sure. That's gonna be like that Sunday, like 1 o'clock game on Fox or something like that. Like it's gonna be brutal.
No, they're gonna give it to Tony Romo.
Oh God. I don't know, Jim. I don't know. Looks like I'm dead in the house, Jim. That was actually pretty good, Matty. Good job.
Thank you.
All right. But baseball is in full swing. The playoffs are in full swing. So let's take a review of the AL East teams, shall we? The Tampa Bay Rays, gone. The Toronto Blue Jays, gone. The Baltimore Orioles look like they're about to be gone. Are the Yankees in the playoffs?
They're gone.
They were gone a long time ago, but the Red Sox have been gone since the end of August. But anyways.
Red Sox are already gone next year, too.
So there goes my pick. Maddie, I think did you take the Phillies or did you take the Braves?
I took the Orioles.
We were on the Orioles bandwagon and we lost. Powder, you did something different, right?
Phillies.
So you took the Phillies. Okay.
I was going to go Phillies until Powder took it.
Peer pressure getting to Maddie B once again. Unbelievable. But
hate you guys.
But let's talk about the Red Sox real quick. So the Red Sox made a couple moves that, if you're a true diehard, they were definitely like eye-popping moves. Pitching coach Dave Busch fired. Infield coach and third base coach Carlos Fabelis fired. And the Fabelis one is interesting because Fabelis is a close friend of Alex Cora. And he was in charge, obviously, of the infield defense. We know that was something that was heavily scrutinized throughout the year, but something that they were trying to focus on in spring training. So now that you think about it, right, now you have, coming back, you have Devers at third, you have Story at short. Who knows what you're going to do at second base, and then you're going to have Casas at first. So you got to find a second baseman. Now, this person isn't a second baseman, but you know who would be pretty cool if he was a Red Sox?
Who's that?
That would be Shohei Ohtani. So, again, we're hearing conflicting reports. There's a couple reports that are saying that Ohtani might be interested in coming to Boston. I think it was Sean McAdam that came out and said that it doesn't look like that's going to be happening. So, I don't know. What's kind of your guys' thinking as far as what's the pulse of Red Sox Nation right now? Are we thinking that Shohei is a realistic thing as far as trying to get him here? Is it they just don't know what it's going to take to sign him and they don't even want to bother with it? What say you guys?
I think if the Red Sox really want to change their direction of what they've been going in the last couple of years under Ian Bloom, they should sign him. But I just feel like he's going to, even with him getting a second Tommy John or whatever elbow surgery it is, I think it's Tommy John. I just don't think the Red Sox are going to pay the money to sign him as much as I want them to. I just think he's going to go to the Dodgers. So I think the Red Sox are going to make a true bid. I think they're going to have a good offer to him, but I don't think it's going to be what he ultimately ends up getting.
Okay. Matty?
I mean, we talked about this with Fiesta last week. Fans right now, they probably don't want to go to Fenway. They don't. Especially with looking what the team looks like right now. You want to put asses in seats at Fenway? Sign Ohtani. Bring him here. He brings excitement. Yeah, it sucks he's not going to pitch, but he's still an incredible hitter. He's got a relationship with Masataka Yoshida. And if you bring Ohtani here to Boston, don't you think some other guys then are going to want to come take a look at maybe to come to Boston at least? He's an attraction for other free agents in a way. Or maybe if you don't sign Ohtani, maybe trade for Trout. Maybe go get someone that's going to, first of all, as an organization, get asses in seats at Fenway. And they can also improve the team, too, at the same time. I wouldn't be opposed to it. Do I think he's worth $700 million? No. Does Shohei Ohtani know that he's not worth $700 million? I think he knows that. I think he knows that now. I mean, baseball contracts are ridiculous anyways.
They are.
Maybe like 400, something like that. 500 is what I think he's going to be in reality in the market for, something around there. I honestly think with him, you break the bank, you rob banks in Boston, you do whatever it takes to get him here because he will improve this team. He will. And then the following season in 2025, when he starts pitching again, all right, potentially, if it all works out well, he starts pitching again, he looks good. Or if that doesn't happen, you still got a pretty damn good hitter.
You need to find something. If it's not Shohei Ohtani, it's a Mike Trout, it's a Yamamoto on the mound, it's a Blake Snell, it's another big bat, it's something. Because you cannot roll into 2024 with the current team that you have, because it's just not good enough. And if it's not good enough, don't you want to get people in the seats and don't you want to have a playoff run to get more fans in the seats, to be able to be open longer, to be able to make more money? Kind of a simple business plan, if you ask me. And Shohei Ohtani, granted, in 2024, he can't pitch, but boy, can he hit. And boy, can he hit well. So why wouldn't you want that guy on your team? Especially now, he's not going to be, you know, I don't think he's going to be $600 million or anything at this point. I think his value, you know, goes down a little bit because he can't pitch for a year. That's big. But again, I don't know what this team's plan is. They don't even have a chief baseball officer. They're still waiting around for that. I'd like to know who that is to figure out kind of the direction. Is it going to be like a Brandon Gomes? Is it going to be a Kim Ng? Is it going to be, I don't know, is it going to be a David Forrest, Chris Antonetti? I don't know. Whoever it's going to be, they need to be in the organization and they need to start making rules. Simple. We made a plan last week and, you know, we made a 5-point plan. Me, Maddie, Fiesta, Powder, and Liam were all in on it. One thing that you needed to do. So let's see if they do any of it. Mm-hmm. Let's see if they actually do any of it. But I don't know. I think, by the way, going back to the coach's point real quick, I think the firing show, they're serious about wanting to actually bring good coaches and good talent here. So I would be shocked if they didn't do anything big in 2024. As far as the offseason is concerned, I would be shocked. Like, I hate to say this, but the Red Sox are in a better position right now than the Patriots. That's pretty sad.
And I got it.
Go ahead.
Winter meetings, how big of a splash? Two-part question. Hang on, Al. Hang on. How big of a splash do you think they'll make? And how big of a splash should they make?
How big of a splash will they make and should they make? Will they make? Probably not a big one. Probably not. They'll probably do some low-key signings that, you know, are low-risk, high-reward. What they should do, they should sign a big fish. They should sign a Yamamoto, a Snell, an Ohtani, whoever. Get interest back in Boston for the baseball team. Because your football team stinks. Your hockey team is probably going to, at best, make it to the first round of the playoffs. Your basketball team has a legit shot to win a title, but you need something else. You do. You need something else. And baseball in the summer, when the Red Sox are good, there's nothing better. But when they're bad, it's like they're a fly on the wall. They're there. So that's my answer to your question.
Yeah, I think they definitely have to make a big splash in those, be the team that goes out and gets that marquee free agent, whether it's maybe it's not Shohei at that moment that they do sign, but maybe it's Rhys Hoskins or someone like that that puts that starts getting the attention drawn to the Red Sox. That shows that they're there to make moves.
Make a move. Whoever is the CBO, future CBO, make a move. Get people talking. Get the people going. But anyways, you know what gets the people going? The Celtics.
Hell yeah, they do.
Because they do things right. And once again, Brad Stevens, the absolute man. Signing Peyton Pritchard, by the way, 4-year, $30 million extension, all guaranteed money. And by the way, how did he respond first preseason game? Only put up 26 points. I know it was against Philly. They didn't really have Harden or Embiid or any of those guys playing. But guess what? He put up 26. And you know what? I'm excited for the fact that Peyton Pritchard's actually going to be a legit backup point guard this year. That's great to see. Because guess what? That starting five of Drew Holiday, Derek White, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and potentially Al Horford. Kristaps. Sorry, Kristaps instead of Al Horford. Kristaps Porzingis, Al Horford off the bench. Oh, like that team's going to be so good. Pritchard off the bench. Hauser's obviously still a shooter. They have some pieces. O'Shea Brissett. There's a kid from Toronto, too. I forget his name off the top of my head. But Luke Kornet is a backup center in the regular season is okay. Like, he can give you some solid minutes. This team, guys, I think is going to be even more fun than last year because there's a lot of new pieces in place. And it starts with Peyton Pritchard actually having a role on this team, which should be, if you're going to pay him $30 million, he better be a backup point guard. Mm. Like, he better be the backup point guard. He better be one of the first guards off the bench. Like, there's no excuse anymore. You don't have Marcus Smart starting. You don't have Derek White coming off the bench. You don't have Malcolm Brogdon coming off the bench. There's no more excuses. Have Peyton Pritchard get his time and have him get consistent minutes and play the game well. Simple. But I'm happy about it. So far, preseason, 1-1, beating the 76ers, losing to the Knicks. They didn't play anybody against the Knicks. They sat out there starting six of Tatum, Brown, Horford, Porzingis, White, at Holiday. None of them played. And I think they lost by like six. So I'm excited for the Celtics season to start. I can't wait for when they play the Knicks opening night in a couple weeks. Any quick Celtics thoughts before we kind of wrap up for the week?
I'm excited. Just simple as that. I'm excited. Finally, after it's been a while since we've had a good box of team to root for. It's been a little bit. I'm excited once again to be excited about a Boston team.
I mean, they were good last year. They made it to the Game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals.
What I mean. It's been since then.
Yeah, I got you.
What month was that? Like June?
That was, May.
It's been May. It's like Boston sports fans have had something to be excited about. Yeah, we're excited about the Patriots and all, but that obviously excitement's die. The Red Sox, we'll see. Bruins, who cares? Yeah.
Ben, Powder?
Just that it's going to be fun to see how this kind of newly shaped roster plays together. See if they, like, once a regular season comes, see how they all mesh and everything and see if they can make a run at, see if maybe just changing up, that's what the Celtics need in order to make that deep run. Like, obviously, they made a deep run a couple years ago, lost to the Warriors, but see if they can finally finish out.
This is the year to do it, this year and next year, but especially this year. I mean, you can compete with and beat Milwaukee because you have, I think, a better bench, in my opinion. I think Milwaukee's old and they're thin in the bench depth. I don't think Philly is much of a threat, and I think Joel Embiid's going to be out of there after this year, maybe even at the trade deadline this year if they're not doing well. Cleveland's still a year away. The Knicks aren't as good. This is the Celtics' year to do it, and they need to do it. They need to get it done. Brad Stevens is saying to everybody, look at all these moves I'm making. I'm trying to do what I need to do in order to be able to get us to a championship. So this is the year you got to do it. Yeah. Push all your chips into the middle of the table, go all in, see what happens. Any other final thoughts, guys, just in general before we kind of wrap up for the week?
No, just let's see if the Orioles officially get bounced tonight.
Clayton Kershaw came out.
Oh, yes, he did. Masterclass joke from the Dodgers.
I love it. I have to love a good little Dodgers choke artist job.
And the Diamondbacks, too. Who saw that?
I know.
As always, rate and subscribe to the Legends Legal Podcast on iTunes, Spotify, SoundCloud, Anchor, and everywhere else where you can get your podcast. Make sure to check out everything going on at Student Union Sports, at studentunionsports.com. First episode, new condo in the books. Didn't look like we had any Wi-Fi trouble, so knock on wood, which was great. Any final thoughts, guys?
No, sir.
I'm good.
All right. Again, make sure to rate and subscribe everywhere. We'll be back next week. Hopefully the Patriots will at least be a little bit competitive. But for Matty B doing the Hang 10 Hawaiian surfer thing, that's Powder looking like he's having the worst time in his life. I'm your host, Al. Thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. And we'll see you next week for episode 243.
Yes, sir.